call to order the November 27th Town Council meeting and invite you all to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, council member Ballet is not feeling well today and asked to be excused from this meeting. Wow, I'm echoing. Am I echoing? Okay, if anybody would like to give me a motion for that.
Move that councilperson Ballet may be excused from this meeting.
Second.
Moved and seconded to excuse Catherine Ballet from this meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, have you all had a chance to look at the minutes from our regularly scheduled meeting on November 13th?
Yes. Mayor, yes. Can I just verify there are no changes to the agenda?
Oh, yes, sir. Are there any changes, additions to our agenda this evening?
There's more memo need to go on the agenda, especially.
He's under discussion.
Okay.
Because we're not taking action on this tonight.
In that case, I move approval of the agenda as we have it.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. Approve the agenda as submitted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Okay, now the minutes from our November 13th meeting. Are there any changes or additions anybody has for those? Okay, those minutes will stand approved as submitted. Thank you, Kelly. Okay, Mayor's report. I have a lot. I will try to go fast. I attended an all-day... Am I echoing, or is it just me in my head?
You sound twice as good.
Oh, great. Okay. I attended an all-day meeting in Oak Harbor a couple weeks ago with the members of the Washington State Transportation Commission. These folks came from all over the state and were having a regional meeting for Island County. It was an all-day meeting that had representatives from all of the cities on the island, the county, Department of Transportation, Island Transit, Tourism, the Navy, ferries, Health and Human Services, the Port Districts, the EDC, and we had all been, it was a very orchestrated agenda, and we had all been given very specific presentation times for the commission, and we all made presentations and PowerPoints, and I went to this meeting thinking it was a day of my life I was never going to get back, but it actually ended up being a really interesting day. Island County, you know, of course it makes sense, but you don't stop to think about it. Island County has some really unique transportation issues with the ferries and the Deception Pass Bridge, and then also the one and only access to Kamado Island is a bridge. And with all of our small two-lane highway, it makes, you know, some interesting situations for emergency preparedness, for our commuters getting on and off the island. It creates some interesting freight issues that other people don't have to deal with. Like, for example, I knew this, but you never stop to think about it. You can't have flammables on the ferry. So all gas, natural gas, all propane has to come across that bridge. And as we know, in Coopville, the freight getting off the Coopville ferry comes through our town, and that's kind of an unusual situation. So we found that we had many more similar issues than differences, no matter what the size of town was or the county. Brian Wood, who is the transportation guru for Island County, he does a fabulous job. He worked really hard helping us, organizing the meeting, helping us prepare our presentations to make sure that we were covering everything, but that that the commissioners weren't having to listen to the same presentation over and over and over. And it was really interesting to hear transportation with a tourism bent, or transportation with Health and Human Services, or transportation with ferries. So it was a really good meeting, and I think I feel really good that the commissioners went away from our regional meeting fully understanding what our needs are, what our successes are, things we're looking at for the future. That same day, I stayed in Oak Harbor because that night was the Department of Commerce's military compatibility meeting in Oak Harbor. They had two meetings. None of us could attend the Coopville meeting because they scheduled it on the same night as the council meeting. I understand there was over 100 people at the Coopville meeting, and it went pretty much as I would have expected it to, and how I told the Department of Commerce it was probably going to go. None of the 100 people wanted to talk about the military compatibility guidebook, which is what the Department of Commerce was there to talk about. However, I also heard that our community was very well educated, very well spoken, and very respectful during our Coopville meeting. And so at the Oak Harbor meeting, the majority of the people at the meeting were Department of Commerce staff or Oak Harbor City staff. There was very few, honestly, I think there was 4 people from the city of Oak Harbor. And there was more people there from Coopville than there were from Oak Harbor. And so it went okay. The people from Coopville that were all there spoke again about their concerns about military compatibility guidebook and what was that really going to end up as. Was it the beginning of regulation or land use restrictions? And so but the Department of Commerce has to go through a public process for their guidebook, and now they can say they did that for our area. I attended the Sound Defense Alliance community meeting in the high school. Over 200 people showed up for that meeting. Again, it was a really, really well-run meeting. Those community groups that do the community meetings in our town do a really good job. The purpose of this meeting was to speak about getting ready for the Record of Decision from the Navy and what their plan is for after that, after the Record of Decision. So it's my opinion, impression, that just because the Record of Decision is signed, that they will not stop with their advocating for less flights in the Central Whidbey area. How they go about doing that, I don't think that they have fully decided. And again, the Sound Defense Alliance is an alliance of about 30 different groups, from Central Whidbey, Olympic Peninsula, LeConnor, Anacortes, San Juans. It's a large group of community activists. Okay. So a follow-up to our last meeting, when we declined to approve the Navy's Section 106 mitigation MOU, and so did the Trust Board. As a result of that, the state Historic Preservation. Something Commission on Historic Preservation. They declined to sign it also. And they, so it got kicked up to the national board, which we all knew it would. Our state board said the same things that we said, that the mitigation was not appropriate mitigation, it wasn't enough mitigation. So kind of what's happening, from what we can tell, at about 3:30 this afternoon, I got an email from Captain Arnie. The Navy is upping their offer to $1 million of mitigation from $500,000 to $1 million of mitigation strictly for the ferry house. Nothing else that anybody has advocated for. It was kind of just like an FYI. Memo, we were copied on it. They're not negotiating with the town, they're not negotiating with the Trust Board, they're not negotiating with any of the other consulting parties, except the National Park Service, of course. That just happened this afternoon. I don't know what the State Department, Historic Preservation Department, I don't know what their response to that will be. I have a feeling that the National Advisory Board will sign that. But that's just a feeling, I don't know. So we're just waiting to see what happens with that.
Did the county and the Park Service sign it?
The county did not sign it. And the Park Service, well, as a result of the trust board and the town and the county not signing it, and so therefore the state, the Office of Historic Preservation didn't sign it, then they didn't stop and ask anybody to sign it. At that point, they decided to try and go back and make the State Department figure out something that the state would sign and not have to go to the National Historic Advisory Council. The Navy is working on self-imposed deadlines. Their deadline now is this Friday at 5:00. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Deadline for what?
For the state to sign it. For the state office to sign it. You know, I told you before that the town, the county, the trust board, Corps, we are all just consulting parties. Our signatures are required. So that's what happened this afternoon. Haven't really had a chance to talk to anybody about it since I saw that email. Okay? I just want to report that Congressman Larson continues to strongly advocate for us with the Secretary of the Navy. He originally sent a letter to the Secretary of the Navy asking 8 very specific questions and asking for 8 things. The Secretary of the Navy responded back no 8 times. So this week, Congressman Larson sent 2 different letters to the Secretary of the Navy. I will forward them to you. You would just find them interesting. One of them, before he had mixed up, in his first letter, he mixed up EIS issues and Section 106 issues. This time he wrote 2 separate letters. So he wrote an EIS letter strongly advocating for some of the things that were in his first letter. And in his Section 106 letter, he said that he supported the community ask. He wanted funding for the Ferry House and the Coopville Wharf. He put a dollar amount on it, which he'd never done before. He asked for $2 million for each of those projects. So this is Tuesday. I got a copy of those letters late last week, so I don't believe he's heard anything back from the Secretary of the Navy. But he continues to be really, you know, not taking no for an answer, and he's apparently is going to advocate for us right up until the record of decision. Okay? That's all the Navy stuff I have. Does anybody have any questions on the Navy stuff? Okay. We received 5 proposals. We had put out a request for qualifications for a town surveyor, so we didn't have to keep going out. And we're going to have a lot of survey work next year with all this street work and waterline work. And so we got 5 proposals back. One of the things we asked for in our proposals was sample drawings, engineered drawings. And so I have given those drawings and the proposals to David O. and asked them to please give me, you know, their opinion on the quality of the drawings and the detail and if they're good drawings. And I am checking references and looking at the rest of the proposals. And I really hope I can have an agreement. We can choose someone and I can have an agreement for you guys to sign at our next meeting so that this some of the survey work can get scheduled. Some of it needs, the staff wants to get scheduled as soon as possible.
I have a question about that. Is it possible to put 2 on in case you run into a timing issue?
Select 2.
Because the surveyors have, they're going to have other jobs and timing issues.
One of the things that their proposals will be evaluated on is how local they are, where their closest surveyors are, what size their staffs are, and they were asked to say, talk about their availability to us. We'll have a lot of work next year, but it won't be all at once. And getting a surveyor in place this early, I think, will allow us to be able to schedule in advance as much as we need to.
Okay.
I attended the Oak Harbor Housing Task Force meeting last week. It was very interesting, but I'm going to let Councilman Powell report on that since she is a member of the task force. Okay. during your council reports, is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so the big news, I've saved the best to last. You know, we applied for a bunch of grants from the Transportation Improvement Board. Little Coopville got $735,650 in grant money.
Wow.
That's for two projects, our two top priority projects. One of them is completing the sidewalk on Alexander between that horrible intersection of Alexander and Coveland. It's in reality, it's a one block section of sidewalk, but it's going to be a major pedestrian safety feature when we get that done. That's the area that we just removed the parking from. So now it'll all be cleaned up, it'll look nice, it'll be very clear to the pedestrians and the cars. So I'm excited about that. And then the second project is the big South Main project. So we got money to overlay South Main, repair some stormwater issues on South Main, and bring all the ADA crosswalks, and there's a ton of them on South Main, into compliance. So we are getting $735,000 worth of work done, and the town's match on that is $38,000. $38,718, so almost $39,000. I mean, so like I've always said, we cannot afford, a town our size cannot afford to keep up on our streets and get this street work done without these TIB grants. So we're very excited about that. So those contracts came in today or yesterday, so I will have those ready for the next council meeting too.
And what staff put those together?
These were the sidewalk, we had never applied for sidewalk money before, and the South Main project was such a big project. These are the grants that we hired Greg Kane to help us do the engineering and the engineering costs in order to do the submittals. So we also feel really good about these amounts of money. And we feel that we can get the work done for this amount of money. So yes. I emailed him and told him that. He was very excited. Okay, just wanted to let you know, because I can, that the food bank served 133 families for Thanksgiving distribution last week. Everybody got a turkey, tons of fresh vegetables and fruit, just a lot of pies, a lot of great food. And of course, we can only do that because our community is so good to us. And it was a fun day. The holiday distributions are crazy busy, but we have extra volunteers and it's a fun day. Everybody left very happy. We got a lot of nice Thanksgiving cards from our clients. There's two events, community events coming up between now and our next meeting, so I just want to mention them quickly. The Jingle Bell Run is on Saturday at 10 o'clock at Camp Casey in Fort Casey. That's December 1st. And also December 1st, this coming Saturday, is our annual Christmas parade. That starts at 4 o'clock. And right after the parade is over, we'll have the Christmas lighting in Cook's Corner. Caroling, Santa Claus. It's a lot of fun to be there. If the weather is nice, you're going to want to walk down to the wharf and watch the parade of boats from Oak Harbor come in. That's fun to do. So I invite you all to that. Information about all of the December events can be found on the Chamber website and the Historic Waterfront Association website. That's my report. Does anybody have any questions? All righty. Okay, this is our first opportunity for audience input. If anybody has anything they'd like to address the council with? No? Okay. Okay, so the next item on our agenda is a presentation that I've been looking forward to from the Whidbey Camino Land Trust. Take it away, Councilmember Powell, who also happens to be the Executive Director of the Whidbey Camino Land Trust.
Thank you. Could we have the lights, please? Do I need to sign in?
No.
I took the wrong piece of paper. I don't care.
Can you just do the ones by on the screen, Jackie?
Two choices. That one.
That one.
Oh, and that one.
Or both.
Okay.
Is it okay? Can you get it, Renee, if it's this dark? Because that looks really pretty.
Oh, it looks good.
That looks really nice. Okay.
That is a gorgeous picture.
Okay, I'm Pat Towle, Executive Director of the Whidbey Camino Land Trust, and along with me here tonight is Jessica Larson, who is our land steward. So I'm going to give an update on what the land trust has been doing in Eby's Reserve. Our main mission is to protect the best lands and waters in Island County, which is Whidbey and Camino Islands, and to care for those properties and restore them and provide opportunities for people to get outside in nature. So there are a lot of benefits to land protection, and you can read them here. But one of the main ones is it does help our local economy. People like to live, work, and visit a naturally beautiful place with scenic vistas and local farms and places to walk. It also provides all kinds of free services like clean air and water, drainage, fish and wildlife habitat, and of course, it takes care of our desire to also allow future generations to have the opportunities that we do today. The good thing about Whidbey and Camino Islands, especially Whidbey, is there's still land that can be protected. It's not too late. Our funding for our staff, our operating funds, 95% of our staff is paid by private donors. A lot of people think we get paid by the grants we get for land acquisition, but that's not the case. So we raise about $900,000 from private donors every year. Our land protection, which is the land acquisition, is paid for primarily by grants when we purchase property or conservation easements, or the land or easements are donated by private landowners. And we also do capital fundraising campaigns to help in acquisition of lands and easements. Our stewardship and restoration is another element of what we do. That is done by three staff members, again, privately funded by donors. And we have a big volunteer corps, about 3,000 hours a year, and they're invaluable. And then we also look to secure grant funds to do restoration. So I want to remind you, even though tonight we're just talking about Eby's Landing National Historical Reserve, we work throughout Island County. And one small example of something we've been working on recently is the Barnum Point County Park over on our sister island, Camino. Just three years ago, that park was 27 acres, high bank waterfront, and had not been opened by the county for 5 years because it had site difficulties. When we started working with the county on that, we eventually, as of about 2 weeks ago, grew that park to 170 acres, opened up a mile of previously private beach, have 3 miles of groomed forest trails, and the total cost was about $7 million. About $6.2 million were in grants and some other county funds. Most of the grants, the significant portion, came from the federal and state government. So that's just one example. So when you look at what we're doing in Eby's, that's just one kind of important place, but one place that we work. So before I go on, I just want to remind you what conservation easements are. The bread and butter of our work is in acquiring conservation easements. And conservation easements are legally binding documents that remove development rights and set out what is approved and not permitted and not permitted uses. That document is recorded. It's permanent, it doesn't go away, it can't be changed like zoning can, and it runs with the land, not the owner. But the land remains privately owned and managed, and that's why a lot of the conservation easements we do are on working farmlands. It's a really great way for farmers to be able to reinvest in their farm to pay for family vacations and retirement and things like that. The property also stays on the tax rolls. Most all of the properties that we do conservation easements on are already enrolled in a special tax program, be that agriculture or forest land, and those are very low taxes. So we put the easement on, remove the development rights, and the taxes before and after that don't change. Very little effect on the tax rolls. So this is EB's reserve with the line around it. We're up here, right there in that room. And then this is the ferry landing down here. The green on the map are lands protected primarily by state parks, which is Fort Casey State Park, or Fort Eby State Park, Fort Casey State Park. A lot of the old conservation easements that the National Park Service did 20 and 30 years ago. The purple are lands that the Land Trust have protected in the last 15 years. The red are properties that we're actively working on, especially up here in Monroe Landing farmland, although there's some other ones we're working on, but they're not yet ready for public viewing. So since about 2000, although the Land Trust was formed in 1983, we had the first staff in 2003, and since that time, we've protected nearly 1,800 acres of land in the reserve in 80 different transactions. One thing people don't sometimes realize is how small these tracts of land that look all part of the reserve are. 10 acres, 10 acres, 20 acres, you know, very small pieces that you have to piece together. So it's a little bit of a endeavor of persistence. Nearly 1,000 acres are held in conservation easements, and then 516 acres are what we call preserves. We actually own those in fee simple and manage them. Most of that acreage is Crockett Lake wetlands. And then we have worked with state parks in Island County to help them acquire land, and that is the remaining 258 acres. So in the last probably 12 years, we have secured over $26 million in grants, 36 different grants. I'd say about 45% of those are federal grants, about 40% are state grants, and then there's Island County grants as well. We've also secured $3.1 million from private acquisition efforts, and that includes people that donate their land, donate their conservation easements, do bargain sales when they sell to us, and private funds that we've raised to help pay for property acquisitions. We've also secured just under $1 million of grants to restore properties in EB's reserve. Most of those grants have been for prairie restoration and then Crockett Lake wetland restoration. And then speaking of our Crockett Lake Preserve, we own 461 acres. As you can see, this the front area is our ownership here. You're looking over at Fort Casey State Park and, of course, the Olympic Mountains there. What you see here is just a perfect mosaic of habitats. We have forested wetlands, we have shrubs, scrub, we have low marsh, high marsh, mud flats, and water, open water. And that makes it ready to move forward. Okay, Jess, what is it? Huh? Okay. So that makes it perfect for the migratory birds that spend their time there in the spring and fall migrations, hundreds of thousands of shorebirds, and then the other ducks, wintering wild waterfowl, all the different raptors. We have been restoring about 100 acres of that preserve. A very nasty invasive species took over and started to really have an adverse impact on wildlife habitat. And it grew from about 5 acres to 100 acres in what, maybe a decade? Very fast growing and very dense. So Jessica's been in charge of that restoration. It is really going well. Then we have our Admiralty Inlet Preserve, which is north of Camp Casey. It's 86 acres, but it's 86 spectacular acres. There's an old growth forest there with trees like this. We have two rare prairies and an endangered species population. And we have the largest prairie remaining on Whidbey Island. We also have over a mile of high bank eroding shoreline, which is important to keep intact for fish habitat down below. And we have 2.5 miles of trails on the preserve with 7 different interpretive signs that are really fabulous and several beautiful viewpoints like this one here. We also in the reserve have protected over 3,500 feet of beach, including 2,800 feet that adjoins the Libby Road County Road end and allows people to walk to the north without worrying about private beach rights. And we protected 772 acres of farmland. Most of those, as I said, are small pieces, but they're almost all of them are farmed by one, two, or three of the major farm families. So it's really important to keep those properties protected, because to reach the other one next to it, you have to go through these small areas. So you look out at this property and you think the prairie is protected, but there's pieces throughout that we protected, and then there's more that have not been protected but look like they might be part of the protection effort. This is from Terry Road, right on town limits, looking out to the Olympic Mountains. And we also have protected almost 500 acres of forest lands in the reserve. This doesn't count the old growth forest in Admiralty or the woodlots in the farmland conservation easements. This photo is actually the town's watershed down on Wanamaker in Keystone Hill Road. If you haven't been through this forest, it's really a fabulous forest. And all of the acreage we protected in Eby's Reserve is really important for all the wildlife that we are so honored to be able to see every day and many times a day. The one thing I didn't put in here was a picture of a deer, because I think people in the town see a lot of deer. And I think they're all in my yard, so.
No, they're in mine. More, I think there's more in mine.
And that brings me to our Walking Eby's Trail project, which Jessica's going to present tonight. And this is a project that we've been working on for over 12 years. And the purple, again, is what we protected, and the black that is surrounded by the yellow. Over the course of 12 years, we have acquired conservation easements on 21 separate properties. In the conservation easement, we have retained the right to build a trail for public use. And we just recently finished the last linkage that we needed for the first five of the project that Jessica is going to go ahead and talk to you about. So I'm going to turn it over to Jess.
I get the clicker. I have power. Thank you for letting me come talk tonight. I'm super excited about this project and glad that the Land Trust had the kind of foresight to actually think long-term of making these trail connections, because it's a long-term project and glad to see it coming to fruition. So this map shows in green all the trails that currently exist within the reserve. So you can see all of the trails in the Kettles, you can see Fort Casey, Rhododendron County Park, Town Coopville's up here, and you can notice it's kind of big, this big gap in the center here. So what our Walking Eby's Trail project does is make connections within that area crossing through the protected farmlands and forests that are those conservation easements the land trust has been working on over the last 12 years. So in purple, you can see this connection all the way from Fort Casey State Park up to the town of Coopville, going from our Admiralty Inlet Preserve over to Rhododendron County Park, and really see how it makes those connections. And at the end of its construction, there'll be over 8 miles of trails and over 22 different trail segments. So there's actually 18 different landowners. Some landowners have multiple segments. So lots of different pieces to make this trail system come together. And it does connect to 60 miles of trails. So it really makes a very interconnected trail system that links some of those iconic destinations already and making that a much more cohesive system. So over the last year, we've been working on a trail construction plan. We received funding from Island County Conservation Futures to be able to hire a third-party trail consultant to help us figure out how much are these segments going to cost, how should we phase the construction, what are some of the issues that we're going to have to deal with. And this is our phase map. So as you can see, we are starting with a connection from our Admiralty Inlet Preserve and then going over to our Rhododendron County Park. So that's phases 1 through 2. Phases kind of 3 through 5, connects from our Fort Casey State Park all the way up to the town of Coopville. And then phase 6 is kind of our future phases, kind of grouped together that includes work to create some additional loop connections, and then also work just west of the town of Coopville. We're currently working on some additional conservation easements within that area to make some additional connections before we begin construction in that section. So phasing it out over a few years, which allows us to get the funding for each of these sections and really build them smartly and in a proper order. So trails, it's really easy to talk about the benefits that trails have. Everybody loves hiking. Being able to connect those existing trails and destinations that already exist within the reserve is really a great benefit, along with increasing pedestrian access to the town of Coopville. So a lot of these spaces will allow locals and visitors to, instead of using the sides of the road to walk into the town, will be able to walk through farmland and forests. So a much more scenic experience for our visitors, and safer as well. So they get all the views and are safer at the same time. Of course, the health benefits of being outside, breathing the fresh air, getting to see nature is excellent. And last, but certainly not least, is the benefit to the Coopville's economy. All these hikers are going to be hungry and thirsty. They're going to want to stay the night. They're going to go shopping and bring a keychain from the cool places that they were at. One of the fun things we've been talking with the Pacific Northwest Trail, which is a national scenic trail that comes through the state. Within the reserve, they're mostly restricted to low tide trails for their hikers. And this will actually most likely become their alternative route for this national scenic trail, which really brings a lot of folks from around the country to come here to walk through the state. So very exciting in terms of benefits both for the people, visitors, locals, and the economy. So really great all around. I can talk about the benefits for days. In terms of funding, construction and ongoing stewardship of these trails are not free. Phases 1 through 2 will be approximately $150,000, and then phases 3 through 5 will be approximately $100,000. So that includes both the initial construction costs along with ongoing maintenance and stewardship, because one of the things we want to make sure is if we build the trails, we're also able to maintain them for future years. We've already begun securing funding for the construction phase of the project. We have $35,000 from Island County Conservation Futures, and then $25,000 in partnership with a National Park Service grant. And I also just submitted another grant a couple weeks ago, so from the state Recreation and Conservation Office. So, and we will be continuing to seek funding. If you know of a funding source, call me, write me an email, send smoke signals, because it takes a village to make a trail system, and we really want this one to be a showcase and a gem for the reserve. Timing-wise, this year we are finalizing our trail plan. It will be finished within the next couple of weeks, and we are actually beginning segment construction now. So we have work parties that are starting. The Lions Central Whidbey Club is actually signed up to help start building our boardwalks and staircases, so they're very excited to start getting their hands dirty and helping us with those things. Again, we're doing our grant applications and then really focusing on our neighbor and public outreach to make sure that the, you know, the landowners that the trail is going through and their neighbors know what's going on, are able to voice any concerns or issues that they might have, so that we can address those early on. Next year, we will be doing additional segment construction, again, seeking additional grant funding so that we can continue doing additional segments. And then working on our sign development program. One of the big things with 8 miles worth of trail, going through farmlands and forests and crossing roads, is we really want the visitors to know where they're going, to feel informed, have the kiosks in the right places, wayfinding signs, and really doing that with an idea of the whole system in the beginning, so that we deal with making sure that it's scenic, because it's going through a very scenic area, but also making sure people know where they are at all times. And then in 2020, assuming we have everything goes well, knock on wood, I know it's going to go great, we'll be able to open parts of the trail to the public, and that way we can get more people excited about the trail and continue building segments after that point. So, and those will depend on funding and availability of construction. The big key piece for trails, as always, is stewardship, and that both includes the financial resources to be able to maintain that trail over time, and then also the physical labor to be able to do that kind of maintenance. We rely heavily on volunteers. The community is amazing. These are just some of our volunteers doing various trail work projects on our preserves. And we'll be doing a big push in the Coopville area to really get people excited about taking part in this trail system and helping with our ongoing maintenance and monitoring and adopting portions of the trails. So we will be doing a lot of stewardship over the years to come to make sure this trail stays beautiful for future generations. Any questions? It's all dark. I'm going back to that one.
I just have one question. I do a lot of hiking, and I notice that biking is really becoming popular. Is any of this going to be involved in bikes too on the trails?
That is a great question. So as of right now, we are building the trail for pedestrian standards, mostly from a funding perspective. To build a trail for either biking or equestrian level use, it takes a lot more infrastructure and a lot more maintenance dollars. But one of the things that we looked at in the plan is to make sure that the trail's designed so that it could handle bikes and horses potentially in the future, if we receive and get additional funding to kind of improve the trail tread to that level. Because that's the biggest issue with bikes especially, is that a lot of these are going through farm fields that are wet seasonally, and we don't want to impact those farmers' fields.
Other questions?
We are so, Island County is so lucky to have Woodby Camino Land Trust. It's amazing. And we are especially lucky that you really like the reserve.
We do a lot in the reserve.
I know you do.
It's a good partnership.
I know you do. We really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. And the town is looking forward to working with you hopefully next year on...
That's the main part of our first phase is a parking lot across from our Admiral Deeper Preserve, which hopefully will be on current Coopville property.
Oh, good. That was in phase one. I was looking at the map, and I thought
one.
It was in phase six. And I went, oh, bummer.
So if you see this little red star, this is new trailhead development right there. It is a key piece, because one of the nice things that we looked at, especially in the planning, was looking at where existing access points are and where there are holes or where there should be more parking. And mm-hmm. the one near Admiralty is one of those like key pieces mm-hmm. where it would be great to have formalized access for people mm-hmm. to be able to park. So we're super excited about partnering with the town.
I'm excited to work with you on that. Yeah. We have it in our budget that we're going to approve tonight.
Yay!
That we're hopefully going to approve tonight. I should forgot. Yes, that it's on the agenda to approve tonight. There, I should say that. Thank you, Pat. Thanks, Jess, for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Amazing. Amazing the amount of work you get done and the money that you get to get that work done. Do we want to turn it off?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks for coming tonight, Pat. Mm-hmm. I mean, things between the presentations and that. And for coming tonight, I always appreciate that too. Okay, the next item on our agenda is the third and final public hearing for our 2019 budget. So I'm going to open the public hearing and ask if there's any, for the last time, ask if there's any potential conflict of interest with the council members on the budget. Hearing none, okay. So
what about the one construction project?
For with Camilla? Well, it's part of...
It doesn't benefit me.
No, and it's part of, it's a small part of a big budget. Very small part of a big budget, yes.
I am gaining nothing personally.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so you have Kelly's staff report on, the final staff report on the budget. Kelly, do you have anything you'd like to emphasize or point out, or...
I would just like to reiterate that this budget includes all the recommendations we considered all the recommendations made by staff. We incorporated all of the recommendations made by council, and I believe this to be a complete, and I know that it is a balanced budget.
There's a lot of extra project, you know, there's money in here for Navy work, there's... Mm-hmm. Money in here for all the grants we've applied for, mm-hmm. and been mm-hmm. successful in getting, mm-hmm. and some that we still don't know about. Mm-hmm. We've gone over it many, many times and mm-hmm. can recommend it to you and with a great amount of enthusiasm and confidence.
Yes.
This is the opportunity for the public to make any comments about the budget. No public comment. Kelly, have you received any comment letters or any comments about the budget?
I've received none.
Okay. So does the town council have any questions to ask Kelly or myself?
You've done a great job.
Yeah, I didn't know if I could do a comment. But
this is a comment.
During my own budget every year, and this is much bigger, this is a huge amount of work, so I really recognize both the staff work and Kelly's work to pull it all together in a timely way. And before you know it, budget starts again.
Let's have a month to celebrate. Let Kelly have a month to celebrate.
Take the month off.
Okay, no more questions from the council. I will close the public hearing. Okay, and the first action item on our agenda is a motion to approve our 2019 budget.
I would move to adopt Ordinance 748, setting the town's budget authority for the 2019 fiscal year.
I second.
Moved and seconded to approve the 2019 budget. Are there any further questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Kelly, thank you.
Thank you.
Not only does a lot of work go into it, I remember appreciating as a council person the notes and the extra commentary in it that doesn't not have to be there. It helps you to be able to understand it when you're approving it and then also to work with it for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Excellent. Yay, Kelly.
Yay.
She really wants to get up and do a happy dance. She's gonna remain professional. Okay, the next item on our agenda is approval of a cooperative agreement with the Navy. This is an agreement between the town and the Navy for the town to do some utility easement work. We've discussed this many times. The reason why the town needs to do this work instead of the Navy is that these are utility easements that are needed on private property to run a service line in order to provide water to the homes whose private wells have been contaminated. Ultimately, these easements are going to be between the town of Coopville and the property owner, not the Navy and the property owner. Once this construction is done and the water treatment plant and the new service lines will be turned over to the town, and they will be our responsibility to maintain. Forever.
So because of that, we need, the town needs to do the negotiation. They're basically, it's a small real estate transaction. So we need to be responsible for the negotiation and the actual work, even though the Navy is paying for all of the expenses. The copy I put in your packet was technically a draft. I told them I was going to put it in your packet because I couldn't wait any longer. So today, I got an email that they have made 4 housekeeping changes, nothing that changes the scope of work. And here they are. They changed the date on page 1 from October 30th to November, 2 from October 30th to November 27th. On page 2, they have changed their own internal accounting line number. On the third change is on page 21. We had asked them to clarify who the point of contact was for WAWF. What is that? Email notifications. It's just the email we are to notify when we have submitted a bill for reimbursement. And so they've changed the email on that. And then the fourth change they made is that the actual, on page 1, the number of their cooperative agreement has been changed by 2 digits. It went from ending in 10 to ending in 06. So no substantive changes in the contract. 4 digits. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but I wanted to get you the draft so you had a chance to read it. Do any of you have any questions on it? And hopefully I'll be able to answer them.
Okay. Here, just a quick one on the deliverables. I noticed that one of the dates on there that, where the Navy is to provide the cooperator, and that's us, the town, with
what
the title.
Page are we on?
We're
page
on page 15. Under deliverables, is it? Has that happened yet? They're supposed to provide the title search results.
Yep.
And legal descriptions to the town.
They're on my desk.
Okay, you have that. Mm-hmm. My second question is, where do we stand as far as contracting with somebody to actually do the work?
I've done nothing on this because we don't have a signed agreement yet. So I haven't wanted to spend any staff time on it or go out for a request for qualifications, but I'm ready to do that. So as soon as this, you know, once I send them our signed copy of it, it's got to go up the ladder to... I'm assuming we'll have a signed contract back by next week. It's a, you know, not a great time of the year to go out for a request for proposals. Request for proposals, yeah. But I'm sure we'll get some.
Meanwhile, they have to get appraisals anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm. They've got work to do.
The first of the year before you get it out anyway. Well, I mean, by the time it gets back. Mm-hmm.
We can, you know, I can start the process, though. I can start... the request for proposals and getting those in and doing reference checks and stuff so that when the Navy provides us with all the information, we're ready to go. Okay, Mike, do you have any other questions?
No other questions, ready to.
Does anybody else have any questions on it?
Just one thought, and okay, just a thought. DOT sometimes will do that for other agencies. Easement negotiation.
DOT?
Department of Transportation.
This is a private road in the county.
Yeah, but it's for the town. I mean, you have to pay them, but they do easements all the time. Just an idea.
The Department of Transportation on roads that don't belong to them?
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding me.
They help other agencies.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they also,
I have no idea.
If they can't, they also have a lot of different ideas of contractors.
Okay.
They have a huge easement department.
That's a great contact, and we have a really wonderful local representative from DOT, so I can talk to him about that. Now, I'm not assuming, I have to go through the town of Coopville's you know, policy and procedures for
getting bids,
which would currently stands that we would get select a person off of the MRSC Small Works roster. But doesn't mean that I couldn't, you know, there might be opportunities for us to get their advice or use them in consultation.
I'm not sure that you have to. If DOT did it, you don't have to bid it out. I don't have to.
Why? Because they're a federal organization?
Right, intergovernmental.
Get out.
It's the truth.
Really?
It's very similar to the road work we have done by the county.
Yeah.
We don't have to go out to bid for that. They don't have to.
Pat, you're just a font of information. Well,
yeah, that's interesting.
Okay.
Been doing this for 30 years.
Okay. Hey, with preparing the estimate and getting information for what this process was going to involve, I got a lot of great information.
Okay. Who was your person that I talked to?
Ryan?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, I talked to him a lot. He sent me a lot of really good information. I especially had contacted your organization when I thought the town was going to be responsible for getting the appraisals.
Oh.
And I know appraisals have been a real problem on the island for different organizations before, so I called to get his advice, and he sent me some really good information. Yeah. Now, in the end, the Navy changed their mind, and they're having their contractor actually do the appraisals.
Yeah. It might be a well.
I know. Yeah. Well, and if it is, then it pushes back all of our responsibilities, our timelines. Excellent. Okay. If there's no more questions, I would entertain a motion.
I move approval of a cooperative agreement with the Navy as presented, including the most recent amendments.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the cooperative agreement between the Navy and the town, including the four amendments listed tonight. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you. The next action item is the approval of the special events permit for the parade, which is this Saturday. And yes, the chamber has been spoken to sternly about getting us the special events application so late. We've actually had it since the beginning of the month, but the application came in with some problems, so we've been working with the applicant for quite a while about this. Kelly, do you have anything you want to add other than what you've already put on your staff report?
There were just a couple of changes to the full closure list there. We had a repeat item on the list. Second to the last, North Main from 7th to Front, has that section of road was covered in a previous bullet. The bullet Grace at Covelin should be Grace from Front to Covelin. And Front Street in Alexander should say Front Street. It should say Alexander from Front to Covelin. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Kelly?
The only other thing that I would add is that the council is actually deciding on whether or not to allow the road closures as they are related to this event. And because we didn't finalize the conditions until really yesterday, the conditions weren't included in here, but staff is aware of the application, staff have seen the application, the marshal has worked with the applicants, the mayor has met with the applicants. We do have conditions. They're very similar to the conditions from last year. We had notes on some things that needed to be maybe a little more defined in the conditions, and those changes were made. So I just wanted you all to know that we do have the conditions, although you don't have them here. You're just deciding on whether or not the road closures are appropriate for this event. Yeah.
This will be Marshall Warwick's first Christmas mm-hmm. parade. I believe this will be his last town event that he needs to do. I think this will be his 1 year anniversary, and after this parade, he will have done all of the town events.
Mm-hmm.
Has he been here a year? No, he hasn't.
No.
Has it, though?
He hasn't done the Muscle Fest, has he?
I thought he did do the Muscle Fest this year.
I think the Muscle Fest was his first event last year.
So maybe the ticket, red ticket, will be his last then.
Yeah, okay. yeah, okay, so December.
And he's surviving all of them.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. But so we did have a good meeting with him mm-hmm. and the chamber and the NET volunteers mm-hmm. and the Races Radio People volunteers. And spent a lot of time. Rick was in that meeting because Rick is heading up the coordinating, trying to wrangle the NET volunteers, who are so critical. Both the NET volunteers and the Races Radio people are very critical to the safety aspects of this parade and allows everybody else to have a fun evening. So yeah, we feel like we've dealt with some safety concerns. Is there any questions from the council on the special event permit?
I would move to approve special event permit number 2018-19, annual greening of Coopville Road closures as presented.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the special event permit number 2018-19. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the last action item on our agenda tonight is to approve our payroll and bills. Why don't we start with a motion so we can have a discussion?
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to approve the October 2018 payroll transaction and warrants number 33568 to number 33572 for a total of $88,534.14. And the November 2018 MP transactions and warrants number 33573 to 33638 for a total of $281,515.53.
I second.
Okay. Is there any discussions? Rick came to the office yesterday, like he always does, and went over all of the financial records on your behalf. So I'm assuming he doesn't have any questions.
No.
Pat, do you?
I have a couple.
Okay.
Probably at least one I should know. On page 3, the invoice from the Coopville Historic Waterfront, is that 2% money?
Yes.
Okay.
Part of the B&O, part of that B&O program.
That's what it is.
That's why it's
more
so
than
big.
The Main Street.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
I
do
that every year.
Yeah,
well.
And then I think that was it.
Yeah. Okay, Michael?
I have no questions.
Jackie?
No.
All right. It's been moved and seconded to approve the October 2018 payroll and the November 28 accounts payable. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Unanimously? We'll pay those bills tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That brings us to our second opportunity for audience input. No?
Come on, Laura.
No.
Okay. So the next item on our agenda is a discussion item, an update from our town planner on our guest house moratorium progress. Take it away, Mr. Dennis.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening, council members. So this is an update, but also a sort of request for direction on an extension to the moratorium that the town council adopted with Ordinance 745 in June of this year. The moratorium, of course, applies to guest houses, which are defined as single-family homes rented for no more than 30 consecutive days in any year. So we are, as noted, the current moratorium, ordinance 745, will expire by limitation in December. And the options are to let it expire and or to adopt a new ordinance, which is in the packet, draft ordinance 749, which would extend it for another 6 months. And the intent, of course, of the moratorium originally was to provide time to evaluate our current regulations, transient accommodation regulations for particularly guest houses, but also for bed and breakfast inns, which were not included in the moratorium, but are the regulations are, I think, similarly out of date or out of step with the changes that have occurred in the vacation rental industry since 2000, when these regulations were last addressed. The work program has started, I can tell you that. The Planning Commission has discussed it. What is apparent is there is community interest. We have a party of record list of 20. Interestingly, they all, or at least the vast majority of them, are people in the industry who are interested in seeing where we're going with this. It does not appear to be extensively people. There are several names on it, people who wish to enter the industry, to start a guest house, but primarily it's people who are currently operating businesses, the local lodging industry. And of course, this was initiated with a letter to the council from the local lodging association, requesting that the town contact the establishments that have not become regulated formally, that have not become formally established under our town code. And we know just from looking at the websites for VRBO, Airbnb, and others, that there appear to be a number of establishments that are operating under the wire, and perhaps they're just not familiar with the regulations, or it's easy enough to avoid compliance. The Planning Commission has considered it. There has been some public comment. We anticipate there will be more as we move forward, but the Planning Commission is not ready. We feel there are several more meetings before they'll be ready to issue a recommendation to the Town Council on a package of amendments. Staff has reviewed the updated codes from a number of jurisdictions, and there are very common themes throughout. Some are more complex and lengthy, and some are more concise and probably closer to what I anticipate we will end up with if again we make changes. But there are a lot of jurisdictions. All jurisdictions are essentially in the same boat on this. The industry has changed around us, and it's time to catch up. So I guess what I'm looking for are any questions, concerns, and direction about whether you would like to see this be, or at least consider establishing or continuing the moratorium from December through June of 2019. And of course, if we finish the work program early, the council can rescind the current moratorium. That would occur as part of the ordinance adopting the new regulations, if any. And that concludes the presentation. Please.
Do they feel they will get it finished in 6 months? I hate to keep it going on and on.
It's really, I think, the biggest sticking point is staff time to keep the process moving forward, to provide them the information for consideration, and for the November meeting. Staff was able to do some research again. It would be nice to have hard numbers on on the number that we have, number of facilities we have operating currently, and the time to review our archived records, land use records, to see how many of those are actually in compliance and how, are formally established, and anything that's formally established would have occurred through conditional use permit, and therefore would be already vested. Any changes we make to it will not apply to them in the same way that it would apply to a business that had not been gotten vested yet. So there is some research, that a significant amount of research has occurred. We may have time as we move forward to look at the historic records and come up with more firm numbers on how many we have operating currently. Staff believes that the work program provided in the packet is doable. Of course, every focus of staff resources means that we're not doing something else. So because we have more tasks than staff hours, but we do think that with the direction and guidance of council, we can do this.
Oh, and I had a question. If we extended it for 6 more months, that means it would be finished in June. And June is the start of the tourist season when people are coming here. So what happens right after that? I mean, there would be a recommendation to the council to approve some kind of a ordinance or something.
Correct.
Like that. Does it take effect then? I mean, what about people that have made reservations, you know, in February for staying here in July or something at one of these houses? What happens there? You know what I'm saying?
I do. I believe that our the work program ends in May, yeah. which of course, if someone has made reservations some months ahead, it would not necessarily be a help. So I can't tell you what the Planning Commission's recommendation will be. I can tell you that the direction staff is currently supporting or currently favoring would be to reduce to remove these uses from the conditional use category and make them permitted use subject to annual licensing, which would be a less time-consuming application process for someone who wishes to do it. There is always the possibility that the Planning Commission may recommend and the Council may adopt more stringent regulations that would actually prohibit some uses in some zones. I can't speculate on where that will end up, certainly, but if people are operating outside the regulatory framework currently, it's a little difficult to have significant sympathies for issues that may raise. Now, it may raise issues for the tourists, which is truly regrettable if it occurs, and we can hope not, but that may be a result of it.
Or, Owen, couldn't we choose to, if the end result, which none of us know what it's going to be, but if it was a more strict adoption, had more restrictions on it, the lodging industry has said that they're full up. They're at maximum occupancy in the summer anyway. So we couldn't we choose to do something like adopt a new ordinance, but say that it's going to start in 90 days?
Absolutely, absolutely. The effective date would be up to the
council. And then they could honor reservations they had. They could contact people that were further out. They would give everybody a chance to not be caught in a bad situation.
Clearly, yes. That's a great idea.
Thanks, Emma. I was wondering if, because of where we are in the year, and if this will come to us next meeting, that on page 2 of the recommended ordinance, that perhaps you on section 2 shall be in effect until June 30th, 2019. That captures a second town meeting, which
which you may or may not need. You don't have to use the extra time, but if you need it, that's an extra meeting for the town council.
Oh, instead of saying 6 months from the effective day of this ordinance, put, say, June 30th, 2019?
Isn't that statutory language, though, Owen, that 6 months?
It is, it is statutory language, correct.
Sorry.
Good idea.
I have another question. Besides reading the minutes of the planning commission meeting, I mean, the question I'm asking is because since I've been on the council, I've rarely had any kind of ordinance come through from the planning commission. It's usually been, you know, something now the hearings examiner is handling. So I'm still unclear of, you know, you work with the planning commission and it goes along for a number of months and then it comes to us. And then sometimes, and maybe it was in the development permits, we can't really do much at that point. I just haven't been through this process. I'm very interested in the whole matter. And so I'd hate to be caught at this point, at the point you bring it to the council, and because I don't know how this works, be told, well, you can only, you know, work within this framework.
Right. So as the legislative body, you have ultimate decision-making authority. You can, so that the problem with coming to you early and getting a read is that goes back to the planning commission and they are no longer working,
I understand, yeah.
They should be giving you their best recommendation, which is difficult if they think they know what you want to hear. But once you receive that recommendation, then you have the options of adopting it as recommended, of modifying it, remanding it to the planning commission for additional consideration, additional review, or study. Actually, those three.
Or
nothing at all. Not changing it at all. Clearly, that is.
So it's not like the when we're in, we've been in the past in the quasi judicial. Is that correct?
Correct. In fact, another difference is you can hold your own public hearings. You can take more public comment. The Planning Commission has the latitude in terms of agenda time to review things to discuss things in more detail than can occur in the typical general counsel process. And so they have they are a conduit of comments received from the public, and any written comments will come forward to you as well that have been submitted to the Planning Commission. But you do have you have full latitude in what you adopt. So it is not, I think it's perhaps not as constraining as the quasi-judicial process is. And in that, it's a determination of, essentially, of compliance with code requirements. In this case, it's really a blank slate. You will adopt what you think are the appropriate regulations to move forward with.
Okay, thank you. And remind me again whether, and this might be too late, a council member could attend but not talk at a planning commission meeting, or should we not go to those?
Well, I was originally, they're not encouraged to go if it's a quasi-judicial matter.
Correct.
But you're saying this is not?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. So as citizens, you have every right to attend a planning commission meeting. As much right as any other citizen.
I've never been to one. I'm interested in going, but I don't want to do anything wrong.
So is that correct?
I'm scared.
I believe that is my understanding. It happens so infrequently.
This is a question I asked all the time, too, when I was on the council. And my direction was always not to go, because does the council hold the final public hearing on this?
You can. You're not required to.
Okay.
The planning commission can serve as the conduit for public comment, except as maybe submitted in writing.
But if the council, for some reason, ended up holding the final public hearing on this matter, then the council would have, at that point, would they, like in a quasi-judicial matter, would they have to disclose, I've talked to this business owner about this, I've gone to this planning commission, or they wouldn't have to disclose that?
Not in a legislative.
Okay, great. That's helpful. Thank you.
Just a question about time constraints. Is it correct that if this is extended another 6 months, that that's the last extension that we're allowed to do under state law?
State law, the guidance I've received is state law allows a jurisdiction to extend a moratorium at 6 month intervals. However, it becomes more difficult to justify as a the intent is to provide time for exactly what we're doing, to review the code and make changes. The longer it stretches out, the more opportunity for challenge there is to it. When there was consideration of marijuana, medical and recreational marijuana regulations in many jurisdictions, there were rolling moratoriums which became more tenuous as at the third or fourth rollover. So it's recommended to minimize the number. And in fact, moratoria in general are not a great way to conduct land use. It really should be a backstop or something to prevent bad when that's anticipated. But it does, you do have the latitude to extend it again if necessary.
Right, any other questions for Owen? Okay, do you have the, we would be bringing this back at the next council meeting for action, correct?
I'm hearing no objections to that, no direction otherwise, so yes, we will, on December 11th, we will have a whole-day public hearing before the council. Thank you.
And have the draft ordinance available for adoption.
Correct.
Yes.
All right. The last item on our agenda this evening is council reports. Jackie, we'll start with you.
Sure. Well, I attended the, Sip and Shop Saturday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was so full that I ended up not staying very long because there's so many people there.
And it was successful.
Yeah. The time I spent there was fun. It was just absolutely body to body. It was fun. It was neat to see so many people out and about and shopping locally. You probably all read the paper by now that Island Transit did hire a new executive director. His name is Todd Morrow. We're really excited about him. The process we went through was really good. It was extensive. The consultant we had narrowed, we had 30-some applicants, I believe. First of all, narrowed it down to seven or eight people, and then the board picked. We all kind of gave our top four, and so we ended up. There was a public reception that all four attended one evening, and then all four were given a tour individually of the facility. The board interviewed each of them, and then the senior staff interviewed each of them. And it turned out that Mr. Morrow was the board's first choice and was the staff's first choice. So,
wow.
And a unanimous among the administrative staff and the board. So he'll be beginning his job here on December 10th. So we're really excited. Yeah.
Where's he coming from?
He's just coming from Everett, but he is going to be moving here as soon as he can find something. He wasn't sure he'd find something by the time he started, but I don't know, I haven't heard yet if he's found something. He's. I think you'll enjoy. We'll have him come to council meeting in May.
things are going smoothly. Mike left the end of October, but he left things in really, really good shape. So senior staff are taking over, and then different board members are always available in case they need some high power facilitator. Anyway, that's exciting. We're excited about that.
Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent. Michael?
I have nothing to report.
Okay.
My wife and I had planned to participate in the parade on December 1st with the food bank people.
Oh, in the Grove Park drill team?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Have you guys been practicing?
Have you been working out to get ready for that?
No, I do a little more practice on the power of the roof.
Excellent. Awesome. Okay. Pat?
Well, the tourism meeting is this Thursday, so coming up. Since you asked me to talk about the North Whidbey Affordable Housing Task Force, I think I've been on it for the last year and a half. It's been a really good learning process and a good task force. Human services folks that work for Jackie have done a really good job of organizing it and running it. I don't remember how big the task force was, but it included basically all the people that they thought would want to have input at the end, bring them together. And I think what we found throughout the process is everyone is of similar opinion on the need for affordable housing, and talking workforce housing essentially, not housing for homeless or, you know, less than 30% is it adjusted gross income. And we've been meeting less frequently after we issued our 41 recommendations to the city of Oak Harbor and the county, and those are ones that I think I forwarded on to Owen as well. This past week we had a task force meeting, which was also, I think it was invited guests came to it, and Mayor Molly was there as well as the other two mayors. Mm-hmm. There was the Department of Commerce had two people there to speak about the Growth Management Act, and then there was a housing consultant that was hired by the North End Realtors that came and presented kind of a summary of his findings. I think one thing that has struck me is the Growth Management Act is a really good tool, but it is built around more standard cities and towns. And if you go to the mainland on the west side of the state, you can go from one city to the next pretty quickly. And there's urban growth areas around those cities within the county. When you come to Island County, you have only three incorporated cities, and those are all three here. Two of them are really small, Coopville and Langley. And then over on Camino, you have no incorporated city. And so we have a series of what they call RAIDs, Rural Areas of Intense Development, on both Whidbey and Camino Islands. And my understanding is the intention of RAIDs that were to take outliers from the incorporated areas where you might have, you know, a little corner grocery store and maybe a bowling alley or a realtor's office, and create that as a RAID. So essentially it stays similar in scope into the future, but it allows those kinds of things to happen. But not, there's different levels of development. But essentially what is confusing is that in the RAIDs, you're supposed to keep the same rural development look, the rural character and everything. But in Island County, some of our RAIDs are shopping districts. So you look at Freeland and Bayview and a little bit in Clinton. where you have a major amount of services going to, and the way the State Growth Management Act has it is you cannot expand those boundaries at all unless you can show that within that boundary there's something that can't be developed, like, let's say, a wetland or something, and then you can expand it, but you can't increase the growth in that area when you do expand it. You also can't bring sewer to it. So there's, you know, in some areas like Freeland, Clinton, and Bayview and Freeland, especially in Clinton, there is possibility to do workforce housing, but the main detractor is that there are no sewers. And because you have to have a lot of land for commercial sewers and septics, it's very difficult. So, you know, that is one thing that struck me. Right now, the state has a review of the Growth Management Act happening under the Ruckelhaus Task Force or something. It's a two-year process. It's partway through, and they've done public input. I know our task force gave input, hopefully Mayor, you did, or maybe Owen. So that's I think there might need to be tweaks to address the special situation Island County has as compared to some other areas. I'm sure that more rural counties, especially in the east side, have similar issues. But I only know about this one. So the other thing that came up, that before this time we had been clearly told that Department of Commerce does not allow sewer to be extended from inside city or town boundaries to outside of it within the growth managed or within the urban growth areas. The Department of Commerce people said yes, that can be done, which was quite a surprise to all of us. And further, that the county could, within that urban growth area, adopt the density standards within the city. Now, there's certainly pros and cons to doing that, especially if you allow that the city never gets to annex the area once the sewer is out there and the development is at the same level. Now, here in Coopville, of course, we don't have an urban growth area, so that doesn't apply to us at all. And the other thing that has come up consistently has been the new on-site drainage requirements, because the idea here in Island County is that the cities will take the growth because they have the sewer and water systems and the roads and the police and all those kinds of things in place. Of course, two cities are small, like our own, and then there's Oak Harbor. But the more intense development you do, the more impermeable surfaces there are, both buildings and concrete, which means that they have to handle all of that on site, which makes it, from what I understand from a number of developers, almost impossible to get the density you need to make it somewhat profitable to be able to put in affordable housing, because you need a lot of density to make it worthwhile. There are some real issues around that, both sewer and these on-site drainage requirements. Be interested to hear. And it was quite a raucous discussion. Yeah. Oh, Jackie was there as well. We don't usually, I mean, we have spirited discussions, but with that was especially so.
Well, that was good.
No, I thought it was great. It was very good.
Mm-hmm. I really, the fellow who the realtors hired, I thought his presentation was so interesting. And he, I know you mentioned, City Man Molly, that you wished Owen would be there. He's going to be presenting at the COG tomorrow.
Oh, that Tim? Same housing study?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so you
I had no idea.
At the what? Tim called us. At
Council
the
of Governments.
Government. Oh. Tim Callison and the mayor of Langley called us to see if we could find him and have him come, and so he is coming. I don't know if he's doing a broader presentation or what, but I found some of his information just fascinating.
Oh, I'm excited about that, because I came back and told Owen all about the meeting and said, geez, you know, I go to so many housing meetings that I don't feel are good use of my time, and then I went to this one and I went, shoot, I wish I would have
Yeah, because the land planner was there, right.
But I'm really excited to hear that, because when he was, since I was an invited guest, and there was a lot of people in the room, and they had, you know, these two speakers that needed time, I had several questions on that housing study that I would have loved to have asked, and maybe I would have an opportunity to ask a couple of them in the smaller co-op setting.
Yeah, I think he's coming, I mean, he's first on the agenda, so like right at 9.
Excellent.
The task force that I have been on is the land use, I think it's called, zoning and mapping and things like that. And our task force members, when he said that vacation rentals didn't have much effect, there was significant disagreement about that. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly enough, Oak Harbor has quite a few vacation rentals.
they do?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, because that question was specifically asked at that meeting, wasn't it? Or
he mentioned that in his study, he found that he didn't even look at it because it didn't have much impact as far as he was concerned.
But that question has been asked to Oak Harbor staff before, and they had also indicated that they didn't feel
Oak Harbor staff
very much of their inventory was in vacation.
Have a different opinion than the developers and real estate agents that might know what's going on a little bit more. That's because I some of these people are pretty high power people that have been in Oak Harbor for.
I don't know what Oak Harbor's licensing or permitting process is for vacation rentals. Okay.
There are a number though, because we in our housing support center where people can come if they need housing, we see and hear from a number of people who have been renting a place and are now being evicted because they're going to turn it into a
vacation rental. Okay.
The other thing that hopefully you both know about is that Commissioner Helen Price-Johnson is starting up a Central and South Whidbey Affordable Housing Task Force. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you've been invited to be part of it. Or you might
want to. They will be. I don't think she's...
Oh, no. She's got a date and a location. It's next week.
Oh.
Yeah. No, it's December 12th.
December 11th or something.
12th, because it's the date of our open house.
And it's the date of my Lions Christmas party.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Wednesday. I know it's a Wednesday.
Ours is 3 to 6 just because of the Lions Christmas party. So you can
what is yours? What are you having on that day?
Our holiday open house.
Ah.
But a lot of Lions come to it first.
3 to 6. Yours is 3 to 6, yeah. And her meeting is 4 to 6. Mm. I'm going. I might drag Owen along with me if he will come.
To the Lions Christmas party?
No, to Helen's meeting. I'd love for him to come to the Lions Christmas party. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Excellent report.
You know, and I know Molly, and I know there are a lot of fuzzy names that aren't very good, but so my housing department is kind of now the core for the county if people are interested, and we are getting incredibly a number of calls from developers and from people who are very interested in wanting to work to develop more housing. We're just getting, poor Joanne is just overwhelmed.
Develop workforce housing?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yep. And people who, you know, they might have some land to donate, so who should they talk to about that? And we're just getting a lot of calls.
Do you happen to know what the status of Habitat and Saratoga? I know that, I believe the last I checked, I mean the last I heard, Habitat was taking over Saratoga's role in the land lease,
mm-hmm.
and that's completed, so they're doing that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
The Habitat is now a housing trust, which means that their housing is permanently going to be affordable in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had always had that arrangement with Saratoga, but now that Saratoga went away, good. I'm glad they took that model.
Yeah, it's not typical, according to Gary, for Habitat for Humanity, so to become a housing trust, but they merged the two, which I think
nice.
Is a great,
yeah.
great idea.
That is a great model. Okay. Excellent. Mr. Walton?
We didn't have a utilities meeting this last month. However, there's, we're, as Mayor already noted, that we're working with the Navy on a couple of projects. One of them is ongoing planning for the extension of the water plant, treatment plant. And the other one is the utility easements for the water line. And also, we received the grants for the road work and stuff in the city, the town, so.
I'm sorry, received the grants for what?
The road work in town.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So just to reiterate what you said.
Excellent. Okay. Owen, Kelly, do you have anything else to add before we adjourn?
No, ma'am.
Thank you all very much for coming. We're adjourned.